Hello and welcome to Sunday Morning Bible Study. It is great to be with you again as we study through the book of 1 John. We're actually on the next to last lesson in the book of 1 John. But as we enter chapter 5, I want us first to think back to the beginning of the letter, because if we think about the beginning and we're reading the end, it kind of helps gain clarity about what the whole of the book is about. John starts his letter reminding us that he knew Jesus in the flesh. Have you ever met someone famous or really known them? Well, John says here, I knew Jesus. Not only did I know him, he uses tactile imagery. He said, we saw him, we touched him, and we understood the testimony about the one who came to give eternal life. Listen to verse 1. That which was from the beginning, Jesus, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our own hands concerning the word of life. So he's saying, I know Jesus. I saw him as he walked the earth. And then many years later, when he is writing this epistle, we think at the end of his life, it's kind of like when someone is about to die and they want to give one last word to their family. So over and over in the book, John says, dear children, know this. Know this. And so in chapter 5, we're getting to one more important thing that John wants the people to know. He says to them in chapter 5 and verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. If you were able to listen a few weeks ago, you'll remember that there were some who had gone out from the church because they didn't believe Jesus was Messiah. It doesn't say exactly why they had left, but here are maybe a few reasons why. Perhaps, you know, time had traveled on. They thought Jesus was going to come back in their lifetime, and he hadn't, and so they doubted him. Or maybe they started thinking, yeah, Jesus was a good teacher, but I'm not sure. Or perhaps they just were more comfortable going back to the way they used to worship, with the Jewish faith, with God as Father, but without God as Son. And so they were doubting Jesus's divinity. And right here, John says to us, know this, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Remember that imagery of birth is all throughout this epistle. And if we believe in Jesus, we are God's children. Read on. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. So in other words, if you love the Father, if your Father is God, then you're going to love his Son, Jesus. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and we obey his commandments. So I see two things progressing here. John is kind of poetic and he's all over the place and he circles back around to themes. But what I see here is that if we love, we have faith in Jesus, then that faith is going to lead to us following God's commands. And God's commands are to love one another and to be obedient. Look at verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God, see that birth language again, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So in other words, if we follow Jesus, if we believe and have faith in him, and then we give our lives in following him and don't turn back like the Antichrist, those who have left the church, if we continue to follow him, we will have the victory. We will overcome. We will be with the Lord in glory. Let's read verse 5 again, or for the first time. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is very important to John, and it is very important to us because we are not a faith that believes there are multiple avenues to God. We believe that Scripture clearly states it is through Jesus our Lord, and it is faith that walks in the footsteps of our Lord. And then we have this shift in verses 6 through 12 to a courtroom scene. And there is this defense of Jesus as Lord. And it is so interesting that John uses three major witnesses. But the first two are water and then blood. So imagine the scene with me, that first the witness of water comes to the scene to show that Jesus is Lord. Now, what in the world are we talking about? Well, let's read verse 6 first, and then I'll explain. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. So the first witness is water. And oftentimes in Scripture, water is used as a symbol for baptism. Do you remember Jesus' baptism? When he comes up out of the water, in obedience, he goes to do this. And what does God the Father say? He says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So the witness says Jesus was obedient at the beginning of his ministry, and God the Father spoke from heaven, confirming his sonship. And then we have the second witness of the blood. Now, what do you think the blood refers to? You're right, the cross and resurrection. Throughout Jesus' long ministry, there were many witnesses to his divinity, but the greatest witness to his divinity is the cross. He shed his blood on our behalf so that we could be made righteous. And he didn't just die, but he was raised to life on the third day. And John saw the resurrected Lord with his very own eyes. He stood at the cross with Jesus' mother, and Jesus said to John, "This is your mother." And then after the resurrection, he appeared to John. He says, "I know, I saw him, I touched him, he is real, he is our Lord, and it matters." The water of baptism and the blood of the cross are major witnesses to Jesus' divinity. But there is a third. Listen to the second part of this verse. "And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth." The Holy Spirit had come upon this church to confirm in them, to tell them, to remind them, to enlighten them that Jesus was the Christ. And John says here, don't forget the testimony of the Spirit in your own heart, which has confirmed that Jesus is Lord. Verse 7, "For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree." Now let's get down to verse 11 here. "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." What I see here is that eternal life is found in one alone, and that is in the Son, Jesus the Christ. "And whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life." Those who have gone out from the church, who no longer believe in Jesus and no longer follow with the footsteps of faith and the footsteps of obedience and love do not have eternal life. We gain the victory. We overcome by the power of the Lord Christ, who was on trial, and he was declared the victor. He defeated death, and he has overcome the grave. And we can say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for this hope that we share of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for joining us today. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so grateful for this testimony from John, who saw you, who touched you, who was with you. We pray, Lord, that we would be a people, though we have not touched you with our own hands, trust in the testimony of your Spirit within us and the words that have been written here for our benefit. We thank you, Lord, that you defeated death. And because of that, we too overcome the grave. We are called to have eternal life, and you are with us here to give us abundant life. As we follow in your footsteps, give us, Lord, the ability to do so. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.